Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful that you are so good to us. Lord, we are standing here, many of us, most of us, all of us in this room. We are standing here, Father, just acknowledging that it is because of your goodness. It's because of your goodness toward us that we are standing here today. Were it not for you, were it not for your mercy, were it not for your favor and your kindness towards us, where would we be? And so today we exalt you, Jesus. We lift up your name. We give you all the praise and all the honor due to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more exaltation of praise. Wow. And before we sit down, can we appreciate this incredible team? And just always so grateful for how they lead us and help us to connect with God. But you may say hi to someone next to you that you ignored earlier, and then once you've done that, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, guys. Happy New Year. It feels like it's been forever. You know, we missed that Thursday in March, and then we had it super early in April, so it really does feel like it's been a long time. But we are just so grateful for the opportunity to be together again and to hear and to spend this. I've loved praise and worship today. I don't know about you, but just thank you so much, guys. It's been so special. And we're not done yet. I believe God has something to say to us. For those who are new, and especially those of who are joining us from Club A12, we want to say welcome. My name is George, and I'm just so honored to welcome you here and to be the one sharing the word with us today. I want to do a couple of things before I get into the word. First of all, let me just use this as an excuse. May was is Pastor Kevin's birthday month. And so I want to use that as an excuse to say, I want to take a moment and just appreciate the man of God. And Pastor Kevin carries you guys in his heart so much. He carries this service in his heart so much. He thinks about you. He spends hours thinking about how he's going to start praise and worship, just to set us in the right atmosphere and to hear God for us. And I just want to take a moment today and acknowledge and appreciate him. Would you please be upstanding for a moment, and can we truly honor and appreciate this servant of the Lord? We appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you. You may be seated. You wouldn't even know that he's not very well, but he comes and gives 250%, no matter how he's feeling, and we are just so grateful. And of course, we are here serving with him, serving you with him, under the guidance and covering of our senior pastor. Pastor Don allows us to do this and to be here for you, and so we are grateful to that. So that's the first thing I wanted to do before I go into the word. The second thing is I really want to take a moment and give the Lord thanks, because he's a good God. He's so good. He's so faithful. Because, you know, Arsenal, you know. I know some of you accidentally, when you are coming in, greeted me as a normal person instead of greeting a champion, and we had to do it again. And so I just want to say, all right, that's all I'm going to say, okay? So this past Sunday, let's get into the Word of God. This past Sunday at NLC, you know, we were talking about the kingdom of God and its economy, and we were being reminded by Pastor Fight. Is Pastor Fighter here tonight? Can we appreciate Pastor Fights?
brought a fire word on Sunday. And we were being reminded that because we are part of God's kingdom, He deals with us differently. All right? We are the people of God in His kingdom, marked by Him. And that means that we as His people are set apart. Now, here is the thing. One of the things about Goshen is that the distinction of God's people only happened in the place where they were set apart. You need to understand that if they were outside Goshen, Egypt applied to them. Let's do that again. Literally, they had to be living within the walls of Goshen for the already provided set apartness to work. This wasn't the day that you said you're going to hang out with your homies in Cairo or whatever the cities in Egypt were called at that point. You literally had to be inside Goshen for the set apartness that God had set up for His people to work. If they were not where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to be doing, living how they were supposed to be living, then it gave the enemy an opportunity to touch them, even though they were Israelites. This is so important because sometimes it's like, yes, we are set apart. Yes, we are the people of God. Yes, we are in His kingdom. But that favor of God, that hand of God upon us comes with some instructions. The Lord told Joseph, make sure that your family are settled in a specific place, and I will make the distinction in that place. So when there were flies in Egypt, there were no flies in Goshen. When there was darkness in Egypt, there was no darkness in Goshen. Have you ever, this is a Kenyan thing we do, when lights go out of your house, you look outside to see if everybody else have their lights out. And you're like, you're the only one. When there was darkness there, there was light in Goshen. So it meant that if you were in Goshen, you had the light. If you were outside it, you had darkness. That was the reality. Same thing happened during the Passover. Every house had to be set up a certain way to partake of the different way God would deal with His people. If you in your house, as the believers, as the people of God, decided, hey, ew, the lamb is bloody, as we're not going to do lamb, we are doing saucy. What's that thing called? So we're doing soya cubes because the lamb was bloody. On the day of the Passover, the angel would come to your house and would think, oh, wait, there's no blood upon this door. Doop. Literally, the favor of God was already provided. You were already set apart. A way had been provided for your rescue, but you needed to do something to continue to live under that favor. That's the reality of Goshen. So what does this tell us as God's people? If we are set apart, there's a certain foundational posture that's required of us to be able to enjoy the fullness of God's cover. And we've been talking about foundations here at NLC, at 3T rather. And today is the third and final part of our series, The Rock. And this series has been about going back to the basics. We started by talking about the importance of building with the right foundation. We talked about foundations and how they can go wrong and why you should build right. Then last month, we talked about some foundational things we believe. Salvation and heaven and hell and the Holy Spirit and so on. And today as we finish, we want to talk about some foundational ways we live. Because how we live is the most important evidence of whether we are truly built on the rock, of whether we truly believe in the rock. Now, when you're building your house, how the stones look is of paramount importance. Okay, how many of you have ever built a house before? No? Okay. I'm going to help you today. So how you build, so we talked about the foundation, all right, and all the things you have to think about going into the foundation. So the stones that you use to build your house are very critical. Now, there are different types of stones that are used in building, okay? I'm going to start with, you've heard about Ndarugo. Okay, so Ndarugo, you can put up the image. Ndarugo is a place in somewhere near Thika, okay? There's a quarry there where stones come from, and then they're machine cut. So because the place is so famous for the stones, the bricks are actually called Ndarugo, okay? So when you go to buy stones for building your house, you ask for machine cut stones. This is Ndarugo, gray type. You get them in size 6 or size 9, okay? So this is the first type of stone. In many buildings in this country, this is the stone that's used for the wall, okay? The smaller ones, the 6 ones are used for inside walls, the 9 ones are used for outside walls. Now this is how the building looks, okay? This is you and I. This is how the building looks on this foundation that's being built. Now that's the first type of Ndarugo. Now if you're not very clever and you just go to the lorries that are standing there at Roysambu and just ask for building stones, they may give you this second type, okay? These are also machine cut stones, but they're a different color. You can see they're a different color, okay? The stones that where the quarries where this come from are just slightly different. They're still pretty and they are machine cut, but the problem with these stones is they're a little more porous than the gray ones. So if you build your house with this one, what will happen to your house? It will look very pretty. But then, as time goes by, the prettiness doesn't save the fact that these stones actually soak in water over time. Now they look similar. They even look better than the other ones. All right, so this is walling stones. Now, let me tell you about foundation stones. So the foundation stones, that's the next image. All right, these are the stones that are used for foundation. They are uncut. So when you're building your house, you have to make sure that when you're going to buy stones for the foundation, you don't buy the machine-cut ones. Because the machine-cut ones can't bear the load of the foundation. So you ask for uncut stones. So they are picked straight from the quarry, kind of just put into some kind of shape, and then you use them to build your foundation. If you use the other ones to build your foundation, as with the previous case, your house will stand. It will. However, as time goes by, because the stones are not the right stones, they don't have the capacity for this foundation, the house actually crumbles. All right, let me show you one more. These are also foundation stones. You can tell they are uncut. But do you notice that they have different colors? So when you go to buy foundation stones as well, you're not just picking any old type of stone that's available. You're also looking at the quality of the stone. The more gray, blue they look, the harder they are. The lighter they look, the more they tend towards brown and yellow, the softer they are. They are still all foundation stones, but you've got to be careful about which ones you buy. All right? Last type of stone. By the time you're done here, you can go build your parents' house. I like these stones because they are very nice looking. They are pretty looking. Now, these are called bush dressed stones. So you don't get this from a machine. They're only used for wall cladding. They're used for the wall, for outside perimeter walls to make it look pretty. You don't get these stones from a machine. You literally have to take, you see those big boulders that we've seen, the foundation stones? You literally have to take a stone in its natural form and then you handcraft them. You chisel it until you get the shape that you want. That's how these stones are made. They're very expensive and very pretty, and they come in different colors because now you can take all the different colors and use them to make your house. Now think about all this thinking and all these choices that go into choosing stones just to build a natural house. That you don't just wake up one morning and decide, I want to build a house and use any sort of material that's there. In this building that's our lives, in this building that's being built on the rock, we can't just be random. There's a certain way we have to look. There's a certain capacity we have to have for us to be able to build our lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1 says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the quarry from which you are dug." Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. That's us, the people of God. The Goshen settled, passed over, set apart people of God. Look to the rock from which you are hewn. That word hewn is an old word, I'm sorry. It means to be cut from. Look to the rock from which you are cut away from. I have this picture in my mind sometimes. When you're in the industry for a while, the building industry, for a while, you begin to be able to tell apart which rock came from where and which rock is good. You begin to understand that you're better off buying your bricks from this road as opposed to my Mahu. The bricks might look the same. In fact, they do look the same. But there's a difference in quality depending on the quarry where they are from. The color of the stones, the way they work, there's a difference. Now, the scripture is telling us that as believers, as the people of God who are pursuing righteousness, there is a rock, there is a quarry from where we have been hewn, from where we have been taken. And we are to look like where we've come from. We are to look like the rock from where we were cut. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5 says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen and precious in God's sight, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. And we, who are the stones being built into a spiritual house, are to look like him and we are to live like him. That's the key to being built on the rock. That's the key to enjoying the goodness of God over our lives. Have you ever had someone disputing their parentage? They are like, mtoto si wangu. And then you look at the child in question. And you look back at the father in question. And you're like, you can waste your money and go do DNA. But hakuna doubt hapa. That's how we are to be. People should be able to look at us, the living stone, in this house where Jesus is the cornerstone. They should be able to look at our lives and say, there is no difference between this person and this cornerstone. We look like Christ. We live like Jesus. We have patterned our lives after him. One day, I have this picture in my mind. I was saying, one day when we show up in heaven, and they are putting us back. Okay, you know when you cut something from somewhere, right? When it's time to put it back, it should fit exactly where you cut it from, right? So I have this picture in my mind that one day when you show up in heaven and they are putting us back into the rock from which we were hewn, will we fit? Will I fit into the place from where I was removed? Will I look so like him that it can't even be questioned? So like, it doesn't quite fit here. I guess he's saying he came from here, but he's grown too fat over the years. He's gotten out of shape over the years. It doesn't quite fit here. Will I fit? 1 Peter says that because we are being built, which means it's a process continuing, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That's the part that we have to do to become the house that's being built. There's a Goshen that we have to live in. There's a sacrifice we have to make so that we can look like the rock from which we are hewn. So let's talk about some foundational ways that we must be living as a Christian. This is just basics. If you say you're a believer, what does your Goshen look like? What does the blood on the top of your door at Passover look like? What does the you looking like the rock from which you came look like? How should you be living as a Christian? The first thing is a priority in spending time with God. These are foundational things that will keep you on that stone. A priority, a prioritizing in spending time with God. You see, if today you wanted to learn about someone, if you wanted to be like someone, you have to spend an enormous time studying them and being with them. I don't know if you guys read random things. Today I was reading about body doubles. You guys know what that is? Okay, so body doubles are used in two settings. One, it's movies, and second, it's politics. All right? In movies, many movies that, unless you're Tom Cruise, many movies that require, like, stunts, the actors use body doubles to do the stunts for them because they can't do it or they don't have time to do it. Or I was reading about how, like, movies that require, say, someone has a like an incredible skill, like playing a violin or something like that. It's like instead of paying money for the actor to learn how to play the violin, we'll just get someone who can play the violin and put them in the movie and they look like they are the actor. Now, that's we are going to tell it someone different, right? But have you ever been looking at a movie and thought, hey, this is not that actor? If it's ever happened, it's very rarely. We don't even notice it. Why? It's because these body doubles, they spend hours studying the primary actor on set. I was reading about how they will sit in a chair and they look, they are there the whole day. They are not doing anything. They are not acting. They are literally just looking at the actor. How do they move? How do they talk? What are their mannerisms? What do they do with their fingers when they move? How do they run? And that's all they are doing for days and days and days. They are studying this person. They must learn to speak with the exact cadence and the exact vocal pitch. And they have to make themselves be exactly like this person. Same thing in politics. I think there are many times when we think we are listening to someone and we are not listening to them. We are listening to their body doubles. In politics, they use it for security. So this person, you can imagine if someone is saying, pretending to be the president of Wakanda. Yeah? It's like literally, they have to learn how this person shakes hands, how they walk, how they talk, how they move their head. How, like, they have to exactly be like this person. If we are to be like that, remember our aim is to fit into the rock from which we were hewn. We've been told to look to that rock. We want to be like Jesus. That means we are sitting for hours on end, studying him, understanding him, figuring out his heart, figuring out what does he want, how does he want me to live, how would he handle this situation. We are studying the one that we are attempting to be like. That means we are prioritizing prayer and his word and hearing from him and learning from him. There's no way you're going to build your life on the rock that is Jesus Christ without prayer, without reading the word, without spending time with him. John 15, Jesus says, live in me, verse 4. Make your home in me. Listen to the language. Live in me. Listen to that language. Live in me. In me. Make your home in me. Just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. The language here is one of constant connection and constant presence. If you want to last, manze stay with Jesus. Build your home in him. Constant connection, constant presence. Hebrews 12, tells us, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it. Study how he did it. Study how he made it. Study how he stayed. Study how he overcame the devil. Study how he viewed life. Study how he heard from the Father. Study how he did it. Make it a priority. Open your Bible. 5 verses a day is better than none. Amen. 5 verses a day is better than none. Some of us just, because we are so tired and life has chapped us so much, we're just like, I won't even try. Lift up that word of God. You see this scripture in Hebrews 12, it ends by saying, when you find yourselves flagging in the faith, can you put that scripture back up? When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. Item by item. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do it? And then it says, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Study how he did it. Make it a priority. Read a verse here. Pray. Take time. Find a Bible plan. We'll give you one if you need it. Pick a book. Pick a subject. Take some time to pray. Ask God to show himself to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to help you see more of God. The truth is, like any relationship, you build it consistently. Not everything may be clear all the time. Sometimes you're tired or stressed or sad. At any and every time, go to God. Spend time with him. Get to know him. Study how Jesus did it. There is no human emotion, no human feeling that Jesus himself didn't already feel. You're not going to go to Jesus and ask him, bro, I'm so stressed, I feel like I'm about to die. I know you won't understand. It's like, actually, what happened was, there is nothing you can take to him that he will not understand. That's why he's saying, build your home in me. That has to be a value for you. Prioritizing spending time with God. Secondly, value a godly life. Value a godly life. One of the things that will happen, we are talking about the nature of the stones we are using to build this house. One of the things that will happen as you draw near to God is your godliness will increase. Think about this. He's saying, build your home in me. That means when I'm in him, I am filled, overflowing with him. My godliness will increase. One of the things that stand out the most about those who are built on the rock is the nature of our lives. Like those stones from the quarry, more and more, when people look at us, they can see that we are built on the rock by our conduct. We can say all day that I'm built on the rock. I am serving Jesus. I am loving Jesus. But we see it in how you live. I see it in how I live. It's like 90% of the guys in the room, if you ask them, what's your favorite color? Blue. And then you open their wardrobe. And the only blue thing they have is a pen. You can say, but it's your life that shows the evidence of, I am actually building my life in him. John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me. To cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example. We are spending time with him so we can be like him. We are cleaving steadfastly to him so we can conform wholly to his example. This is such a foundational matter in a world that is increasingly asking us to not be fully like Jesus or to emulate a version of Jesus that doesn't require any transformation on our part. Scripture is very loud on this. If you are born again, your life must and will look different from how it was before you were born again. 1 John 2, I'll read a number of verses there, says, and we can be sure that we know him. How do we know him? How do I know now I've grown close to God? I'm really looking like the cornerstone. I'm looking like the foundation on which I'm built. How do I know I'm looking like a rock from the right quarry? And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. That's a bit of a scary scripture, because if I'm disobeying God, there's a level of knowing God that I haven't accomplished yet. If someone claims I know God but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Of course, there are no liars in this room. You're talking about other people out there. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. This is straight scripture, and this isn't even Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this world. And this world is falling away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. How do we know we are living in him? By how we live, by our actions, by the godliness or lack of godliness in our lives. This has got to be such a foundational value for us. This not looking like the world, being distinct. 1 Peter 2, bunch of verses there as well. So get rid of This scripture is like a checklist. So get rid of all evil behavior, done. Be done with all deceit and hypocrisy and jealousy and all unkind speech, done. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have a taste of the Lord's kindness. Dear friends, I'm warning you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. They are trying to break down your building. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. God called you to do good. It ends by saying, even if it means suffering, as Christ suffered for you. He is your example and you must follow in his steps. What are his steps? He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. We are following in his steps. Now, does that mean we are living a perfect life? No, what it means is I am constantly seeking, as I'm drawing closer to God and I'm building my life in him, I am constantly seeking to align my life to him. Remember that picture. At the end of the day, when we are being put back into the rock where we were hewn from, will I fit? I will only fit if I have aligned my life and patterned my life according to him. Don't look like the world. One day when that rock is coming back for all of us who are hewn from him, don't be left behind because you looked so much like the world that you couldn't be set apart. Third thing, constantly be a witness. Constantly be a witness. One of the key results, it's a progression. We started with the foundation. We know what the foundation is Jesus Christ. We've talked about our salvation and heaven and hell and the Holy Spirit. We've gone over the basics of salvation. And now we are building up this house. In building up this house, we are growing closer to God. We are connecting with him. We are building our lives in him. As that happens, our life begins to be transformed on the outside. How we live changes. How we think changes. How we view things changes. And then as that happens, one of the key results of living a different way from the world around us is our lives become a testimony to those around us. If we are truly doing this right, our counterculture approach will always set us apart. It will always give us an opportunity to testify to God's goodness. Spreading the gospel is a foundational tenet of our walk with Christ. When you read the Bible, the pattern is similar across both the Old and the New Testament through Jesus' ministry and then with the early church. Person has an encounter with God. Person is completely transformed. person can't wait to tell everybody about it and starts it immediately. That's the pattern we see all across Scripture. We have an encounter with God, we are transformed, we can't wait to talk about it. We have an encounter with God, we are transformed, we can't wait to talk about it. Psalm 96:2 says, proclaim the good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful work among the peoples. It's Old Testament. Then Jesus came, Matthew 28:19, and said, go, make disciples of all nations. Tell them all these great things I've done. Draw them to me. Then Jesus went. Then Romans 1, Paul, I am eager. I am overflowing with eagerness to come to you too, to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This is the pattern we see over and over and over. The closer I grow to Jesus, the more I will be like him, and the more I will be compelled to tell everyone about him. If you are struggling in your campus, in your school, in your neighborhood, by speaking up for Jesus, I want to posit that maybe the problem is not your fear of speaking up. The problem is something hasn't happened here. You haven't quite built your life in him. You haven't been completely transformed by him. Because the more that happens, the more I'm like, guys, I can't wait to tell you what he has done for me. Obviously, it's very difficult to be a witness of someone you don't know. It's hard. You're trying to talk about a concept. You're trying to talk about an idea. Let me tell you about Jesus. It's like I have heard of him. But when you have experienced him personally, then that makes it easier for you to share him. It's hard to make a case for someone you yourself don't look like you believe. You're telling us about Jesus, but bro, you're telling us about Jesus between shots. It's a bit of a problem. Because you're unbelievable. I don't believe you. I don't believe this thing you're saying you follow. Do you really? Because if you do, then you look like it. You live like him. That's what gives you confidence. Let me finish there. Know, follow, share. Know him. Know him. Draw close to him. Build your house in him. Build your home in him. Study him. Study how he moved, how he talked, what he did. Then follow. Pattern your life after him. Be like him. Let it be that when people look at you, they can say there's something Jesus-y about you. That's how you look. That's how you look. Then share. That's the foundational way we live. Amen. Can we stand and pray together? Father, we thank you today that we are your people. Lord, what a joy. What an exciting reality that you chose me, that you called me, that you have made me part of your kingdom, that we are your people. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the rock on which our lives are built. And when we are built on you, though the storms may come, though troubles may come, we will stay firm. We will stay fixed and we will not collapse or crumble because we are built on you. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have taught us in these past months. And today as we finish, that God, as we are building up this house that is built on your rock, that there is a way that you desire for us to live that will give us longevity in you. I'm praying, my Father, that once again you will stir in our hearts and in our lives such a desire to prioritize spending time with you. That God, we are taking the time that we need to know you, to study you, to understand how you move, to understand what you think, to understand how you view things. That Lord, we are patterning our lives after you. I pray, my Father, that God, we are even through our tiredness, even through our suffering, God, you're not the one that we are discarding. We are not saying that I'm too busy in this season, I can't do God. That Lord, we are constantly coming to you. That we are constantly building our home in you. And Father, thank you that you're transforming our lives. That how we live will be evidence. Our obedience to you. How we conduct ourselves. Lord, our godly living will be evidence that you're alive and at work in us. And Lord, let that help us be useful tools in your hands. To be witnesses to all around us. Of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what you have done in our lives. I want to pray today for anybody who's in this room and just feeling so tired. It's been so hard. Things have been so difficult. So much pressure. I'm praying, my Father, for a refreshing today. Lord, like we read in that scripture in Hebrews, let there be a shot of adrenaline in our souls once again as we go over that story one more time, line by line. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus handle it? Let that be a source of life for us once again, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, who's not yet a part of the kingdom, all of this doesn't matter until we make the decision to be part of your kingdom. I pray that they will decide today to follow you and to give their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.